from the KTOO newsroom. I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. On May 5th, people all across the country marked Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Awareness Day. They shared stories and pictures and memorialized the thousands of people who have disappeared. Now, many Instagram users reported that content they shared to their stories about the day has disappeared too. The company says it was having technical problems and that no one group was being targeted. KTOO's Lindsay Berlini has the story.
The morning after Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Awareness Day, Inupiaq advocate Jackie Lambert noticed that half of her stories relating to missing and murdered Indigenous persons were missing. For those of you who aren't on Instagram, just think about it like Lambert shared other people's posts and then they disappeared. Lambert immediately tweeted about it because it was so odd.
I thought it was just me. I thought it was just some kind of glitch, but then I went to go look at other people who have also shared onto their stories, and the same thing was happening for them.
One account whose posts were deleted from Instagram stories was Jordan Daniel's account, Rising Hearts. Daniel, who refers to the movement as Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relations, is Lakota and a member of the Lower Brule Sioux tribe. When she posted on her Instagram, her stories were deleted. Hundreds of people commented with similar experiences.
So it feels like a never-ending hamster wheel when you're trying so hard and you know community is trying so hard. And to have this one day be taken away was just heartbreaking.
This is not the first time that the company has been accused of targeting Indigenous voices. Earlier this year, Indigenous beating accounts were being deactivated without explanation. Daniel says that social media is one of the greatest tools for Indigenous advocacy, like in the case of the Standing Rock protests.
But it's also a double-edged sword because we are advocating for justice, so we have to talk about the injustice. We have to talk about all of the problems that have created these systems of oppression. We have to talk about colonization. We have to talk about white supremacy and racism. And so that's where censorship comes in. That's where erasure comes in.
To Lambert, there was a certain irony to these specific stories disappearing.
It just felt weird that, like, you know, we're talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women, and then all of our content to raise awareness went missing.
Many Indigenous Instagram users tagged Instagram social media accounts to call them out on taking down missing and murdered Indigenous persons' content. Later that day, Instagram tweeted a response saying that there was a widespread issue with Instagram stories that is not related to any particular topic. In other words, no one is being targeted. But Daniels thinks the company's response doesn't really explain why so many stories specifically about missing and murdered Indigenous people were taken down.
I just find that really odd, especially when it's a lot of the content that only addressed MMIR stuff. Even allies who are not Indigenous, you know, all of their regular posts that had nothing to do with this advocacy remained, but anything that had to deal with advocacy and awareness for MMIR was removed.
Regardless of whether Instagram's removal of the posts was intentional or not, the effects of the removal of the stories and content about missing and murdered Indigenous persons is the same. Daniel described being put into emergency response mode, trying to redo all the work that was done the day before and resharing everything that was taken down. And Lambert says all of this confusion is happening just as another Alaska Native woman has been found dead. Her ex-boyfriend has been arrested. Geraldyn Nicholson was discovered dead at Eklutna Lake near Anchorage about a week ago.
It's still fresh, especially for Alaskans. You know, we're facing a tragedy right now. We're grieving over Geraldyn Nicholson, who had just been found.
On Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Day, Lambert felt a sense of solidarity and healing with the Indigenous community. But the next day, when all the stories she shared were gone,
they do see us and they do know us, but they're silencing us.
Late Friday, Instagram tweeted that they had identified and fixed the problem. The company's comms account laid out that several communities were affected and that it wasn't just Indigenous content creators who were having problems, and they apologized. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says its latest guidance for cruise ship operators could allow passenger voyages to resume by mid-summer. But travel industry leaders in Southeast Alaska are raising concerns about the CDC's new rules. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
The new rules under the agency's conditional sailing order provide instructions for lines to start simulated voyages. Those are sailings with volunteers designed to test COVID-19 protocols and rules for trips with paying passengers. Travel Juno's Liz Perry says a portion of the rules on shore excursions caught her eye. The CDC says cruise ship operators must, quote, prohibit self-guided or independent exploration by passengers during port stops.
So there will be no allowance for going into shops, restaurants, other things independently. All passengers will have to stay inside that cruise bubble. That's going to be problematic for almost all Southeast communities.
And that means many Southeast businesses who rely on adventurous tourists and walk-in traffic could be left out. Perry says she also fears that small tour operators who don't sell their excursions on board cruise ships could be left behind. The new rules do not require passengers to be vaccinated against COVID-19, but cruise lines won't need to run a test voyage if they can certify that more than 95% of passengers and 98% of crew members are fully vaccinated. Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings CEO Frank Del Rio told investors on a recent earnings call that that doesn't go far enough.
For the life of me, I don't understand 98% and not 100%. So you have a big ship. You have 1,800 crew members on board, and you're going to vaccinate 1,764 of them, but not 36. I mean, what a loophole to allow potential COVID to be introduced in the crew area. 100%, at least at the beginning, I believe, should be the model.
He says NCL will require everyone on board to be fully vaccinated.
There isn't another venue on earth, not a school, not a factory, not your office building, apartment building, much less an entertainment venue like a casino, a hotel, a resort, that can make that claim. We will be the safest place on earth.
He says his company's ships will abide by a 74-point plan the company revealed last fall, in addition to following the CDC's guidance. The Dunleavy administration has been critical of the federal government's regulations. The state of Alaska recently joined a Florida-led lawsuit challenging the CDC's restrictions on cruise ships. A Department of Law spokesperson says the state continues to pursue all avenues for resolution. A lack of CDC guidance was one major barrier to this year's Alaska cruise season, but another major hurdle remains. Federal law requires the large cruise ships that visit Alaska to make an international stop, but Canadian authorities have banned cruise ships from their waters through next February. The state's congressional delegation has sponsored a bill that would waive that requirement for Alaska cruises, but an attempt to fast-track the proposal in the Senate failed last month. Travel Juno's Liz Perry says that if any ships come to Alaska in 2021, it'll be very late in the season.
We're focusing on a season of independent visitors, and for Travel Juno, that has always been our focus. And here in Juno, we're doing a major fourth quarter push to get as many independent travelers into Juno as we possibly can.
But she says she doesn't think any Southeast communities have the infrastructure to take on enough independent travelers to make up for another lost cruise season. With additional reporting from KTOO's Jeremy Shea in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
In other news, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration has granted the governor's former chief of staff a waiver from state ethics laws in his new job at oil company ConocoPhillips, saying there's no conflict of interest because Conoco's new multi-billion dollar project will benefit the state. Ben Stevens left his job as Dunleavy's top deputy in late February and started work as a Conoco executive 3 days later. Conoco is Alaska's largest oil producer, with dozens of state leases and plans to develop the massive new Willow project on federal land in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. State ethics laws say that for 2 years after leaving their jobs, public employees can't work for private companies on any issues that they were personally and substantially involved in. But Stevens says he was not personally or substantially involved in any of the issues as chief of staff because his job was simply to share information with the governor and facilitate his decisions. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.